We are discussing the paper of Teixeira, Padilla, and Viana from the University of Brasilia, which is entitled Impaired Popliteal Artery Flow-Mediated Dilation Caused by Reduced Physical Activity is Prevented by Increased Shear Stress, which has been published in the Journal of Applied Physiology. We have Dr. Lauro Viana representing the authors, and Dr. David Edwards from the University of Delaware is an external expert, and both of these will be taking part in our discussion. My name is Harold Laughlin, and as the associate editor who handled peer review of this manuscript, I will moderate the discussion. Dr. Viana, please briefly tell us what was the hypothesis being tested in this paper, how you went about testing it, and what you found that was not previously known.
Thank you, Dr. Laughlin. So here we tested the hypothesis that a reduction in leg blood flow induced the shear stress is a primary underlying mechanism by which reduced daily physical activity impairs popliteal artery FMD. And this was accomplished by increasing leg vascular conductance with local heating of one of the foot during 5 days of low levels of physical activity. Overall, we found that the impairment in popliteal artery flow-mediated dilation caused by physical inactivity can be prevented by increased shear stress.
Dr. Edwards, you're an expert in this field. What is your take on this paper?
This study is significant as we know that a large portion of our population is physically inactive, which increases their risk for cardiovascular disease. The study's novelty comes from its focus on physical inactivity-induced lower limb vascular impairment and the clever use of heating of the foot and ankle to maintain some shear stress in one leg during 5 days of reduced physical activity. And this maintained popliteal artery flow-mediated dilation, as Dr. Viana said. The study was well-designed and conducted and adds to our understanding of physical inactivity-induced leg vascular changes. It will be interesting to see if the same strategy is effective in reversing any vascular impairments present following prolonged physical inactivity.
Dr. Viana, do you have any response to those comments?
I completely agree with Dr. Edwards. I think our model we have used in this study is a short intervention approach. The next step would be prolonging the intervention of physical activity.
Dr. Viana, I noticed in your methods that you did the heating 3 times a day for 30 minutes each time. How did you come up with that strategy?
Basically, we ran a couple of pilot studies in our laboratory, and we thought that could be ideal to do this regimen of intervention. But there is no strong rationale behind it. It's only during pilot studies in our lab we came up with this 3 times per day, 30 minutes duration of heating up the foot.
You also indicate in your paper that the lower limb vasculature has greater susceptibility to developing atherosclerosis. Can you comment on that further so that we can perhaps understand those differences?
Several studies demonstrated that the leg vasculature is highly susceptible to atherosclerosis relative to other disease-resistant vasculatures such as brachial or carotid arteries. We do not fully understand this difference, but we can certainly suggest that the leg vasculature is more vulnerable to alterations in shear stress, which is an indicative that shear stress plays a pivotal role in leg vascular health.
Dr. Edwards, do you have any response to Dr. Viana's comments?
Yeah, I would agree that, Dr. Viana, that the legs are more susceptible to atherosclerosis compared to the brachial artery, which is mostly studied in the literature.
Do you believe that physical activity or a sedentary lifestyle has an impact on cardiovascular risk similarly in the arms and legs, or is there a difference there as well?
Well, we know that a sedentary lifestyle increases the risk for disease and death in general, and in particular for cardiovascular disease. Impaired endothelial function, which Dr. Viana measured with flow-mediated dilation, is known to play a role in this increased risk. The majority of work in this area has demonstrated that exercise training can improve endothelial function in the brachial artery. And although this is predictive, we know, as Dr. Viana just said, it's not susceptible to development of atherosclerosis like the legs. So much less is known about the effects of physical inactivity on the lower limb vascular function. And that's why studies like Dr. Viana's are important.
Dr. Viana, do you have any response to Dr. Edwards' comments?
I completely agree with that, and I would like to add that acutely, if a subject do whole body exercise or at least cycling exercise for a duration of 30, 40 minutes like we do regularly in the gym centers, we can clearly see a vasodilation in the brachial artery while we are pedaling using the lower limb. So it's clearly there is a systemic effect on the elevated shear stress, especially in those vasculatures that are inactive.
How do you think that shear stress has these effects?
Shear stress is increasing the activity of the enzyme that convert the substrate to NO, so increasing, generating mechanical stress in the endothelium, that it is increasing the bioavailability of nitric oxide and promoting vasorelaxation in the vessels.
Dr. Edwards, do you have any response to those comments?
Yeah, I would agree that most likely it's working through increasing nitric oxide bioavailability. It'll be interesting to see if this can be confirmed in some animal studies to tease out those mechanisms.
What do you consider to be the major strengths of this study?
As I mentioned earlier, the studies were well designed and conducted. The authors were able to dramatically reduce physical activity from an average of about 13,000 steps per day to less than 4,000. And in some cases, this required the use of taxi service to transport research participants around. So I thought that was very well done. By heating the foot distal to the popliteal artery, the authors were able to avoid the potential confound of direct heating of the artery and allow them to focus on the effect of shear stress. And lastly, the authors took into consideration any changes in baseline diameter in their statistical analysis of fluvial dilation and confirmed their findings using that analysis as well.
We definitely had a non-significant reduction in baseline popliteal artery diameter, which could be potentially affecting our main findings. And that was called by the reviewers. We basically decided to make an additional allometric scale analysis proposed by Atkinson. Basically, we are taking into consideration the baseline diameters. And after this analysis, we could reinforce our main findings that leg vascular function was impaired after 5 days of reduced daily physical activity in the non-heated leg, but remained unchanged in the heated leg.
The other thought that occurs to me is that these beneficial effects happen in 5 days. What do you believe the time course of that is? And would those effects be sustained beyond 5 days with continued treatment?
Well, we don't really know, but a previous paper led by Boyle and colleagues, published in 2013 in JAP, they showed that the time course of the leg vascular dysfunction took about 3-4 days to be manifested in the popliteal artery. But the time to restoration of the leg vascular dysfunction following this 5 days of physical inactivity is currently unknown. I would say 1 or 2 days after 5 days of physical inactivity, but that needs to be tested.
Dr. Edwards, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how long it would take to restore vascular function after the 5 days of physical inactivity. But I also think it'd be interesting to see how this heating might be used to restore some leg vascular function in patients with established limb vascular impairments, and that may be different or similar to physical inactivity-induced vascular impairment.
So in reference to extending this work into treatment of known pathologies of vascular function, where would you start with that, Dr. Edwards?
Well, the obvious start would be individuals with peripheral arterial disease. Individuals oftentimes have difficulty exercising as well, so using Dr. Viana's novel heat therapy may be a way to improve some shear in that vessel to see whether you might see some improvements in vascular function. And again, that may or may not be similar to what we see with physical inactivity because they do have longstanding vascular impairment in those limbs.
I completely agree with Dr. Edwards. I think that's one of our perspectives, but we don't really know whether it's going to be similar to what we saw during physical inactivity, especially because those subjects are extremely active subjects and they are healthy young subjects. Usually disease populations, they are older and they have other clinical conditions associated with the, let's say, PAD, peripheral artery disease patients.
Congratulations on this study, Dr. Viana, and thank you and Dr. Edwards for your time today for this stimulating discussion.